Okay. Well, I never liked this, but today it's the Rick Show. You know, somebody needs to write this down, because never before has anybody actually asked me to stand up here and do this. And so, and I can see by the throngs that showed up that it was y'all just, nobody told you, oh, Rick's talking, stay away. So anyways, so given the opportunity, it was sort of like, well, what would I say? And I have to say, the thing that I love is doing this. I dearly love worship. And so I thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity to say, I say little bits and pieces, but it's a kind of the first kind of formalized thing. And lo and behold, I think I have a month worth of sermons, so Jimmy's going to stay in California. And no, I don't. But I want to tell you, in seminary, they taught us, you know, you always want to have 3 points, a poem, and a prayer. Okay, so my homiletics are not good because I've got 2 points and more music. And what I'm going to say, but they do tell you to tell the audience what you're going to say, then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. All right? There will be a test. 2 points. One is about themes, and one is about posture. Say themes. Say posture. Okay, so here's what's going on. First part's about theme. The definition of worship, what we do, I went to the dictionary. It says worthiness, respect, reverence paid to a divine being. And this is the one I like. Extravagant respect or admiration. Amen. Admiration for or devotion to an object of esteem. Now, you can worship money. You can have extravagant respect, admiration for. You can, there are different things. But here, what we're trying to do is have this extravagant respect or admiration for our God. I think most of us on a Sunday morning, we would see worship as singing, taking communion, hearing the preaching of the word, offering is an act, is that sort of thing. But what does Paul say? And this is a Bible church. I'm expecting you guys to know a lot. What does Paul say in Romans 12? That what is true worship? Offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, which seems to be your reasonable act of service. So, which is pleasing to God. So, actually, everything comes out to be worship. It's not just the Sunday morning that we do here, because we, you know, a lot of times, first of the month, we get communion. Worship is everything we do. Charlie, where did he go? Charlie worships when he is out fly fishing. Because everything we do, I mean, if you do everything as unto the Lord, then I think there's an attitude and an aspect of like, I'm in creation. I am in what God gave me. And we want to do everything. Yesterday, the boys were out with us, and we're pulling weeds. And it's like, we're kind of glossing. I mean, you know, we got a 9-year-old that's going through and pulling. It's like, do you see that you just went over 4 weeds to get this one? You know, we want to get them all. And we want to do a thorough job of what's going on. And it's sort of like, they're 9. They don't see it yet. How old are they actually? 8 and 9. But they're there, you know, and they're having a great time, and I'm just whining about being on my knees. But we're pulling, so we're showing, it's like, you know, as unto the Lord, we want to pull the weeds. We want to do the best job that we can, because this is for God. And nobody's coming out and grading us. Okay, that was a C, which I'm used to. And, or that's a B job or whatever. But it's like, you know what, Lord, I want to do the best that I can for us. And if we do our jobs as unto the Lord, it would be whether I'm working at Burger Hut, flipping burgers, it's like, I'm going to do the best job that I possibly can because I'm doing it for the Lord. Everything that we do is worship. Here, we do music at the beginning on our Sunday services. So what are the distinctives in worship? What is the distinctives here? Why do we do the songs that we do? So let me take you through my process of what goes on. I'll start each week and I'm going, Lord, what themes do you want to go here? What's the first thing we're going to learn today? Themes. What theme do you want going on? What's the topic? What's the deal? And maybe this is my attempt. You know how Jesus said, I never do anything that I don't already see the Father doing? This is my thing of like, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going that I can see you, that I can join you with what's going on within this time? Now then, from that point, once I kind of feel like I've got a theme or a thing, and no, I haven't. I actually have heard distinct the Lord speaking to me, all right? Typically, it's kind of a gut kind of a feel of kind of where we're going, and And then as I'm picking, I usually end up getting about 15 out, and you kind of winnow down, kind of like, okay, well, this kind of works. But I want you to know that it's not, you know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you'll open up, close your eyes, put your finger down, and that's your verse for the day, you know. I don't do that. That's not where I go. It's like, okay, Lord, where do you want to go? There's a theme. And so now I try to find the songs that kind of fit that theme. And then we're going to go from that. We're going to either expand on that theme, or maybe as a result of what that song talks about, then it's going to segue into another kind of a thing of what's going on there. But the idea is that we're sort of, yeah, it's not a random selection. We're not just singing songs. They're not just, it's, you know, oh, well, that was fun to sing. Oh, let's sing another one, you know. And just kind of this separated kind of a deal. It's a journey that we're planning for you. And the whole goal that I would have is for us to experience God. And I think there's a huge responsibility on your coming here to be looking forward to that. And then expecting that. And then when you get here, it's like, all right, well, where are you taking me? Now, I have said, and I don't know if you've paid attention, I expect that you have, that I keep stressing to be honest with what comes out of your mouth as we're singing. Have integrity with what's going on there, because we're talking to God. And we're declaring our extravagant respect and admiration for Him. That's what we're doing. And so for example, last week, were y'all here? Was anybody not here? Okay, last week we did our set. And so let's just kind of look at what we did last week, and let's just kind of see, well, what was the flow? What was going on? Christina led, and she started out with Holy is the Lord. That song is just like, whoa, this is God. All right, and it just talks about Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. You know, it's just one of those, this is God. The next song that we did was Mighty to Save. So we started with This is God, and Mighty to Save is like, it starts out with, everyone needs compassion, the kindness of a Savior, let mercy. So here's me. Here's God. And now with that, well, here's me. And then the third song she did was Your Love is Extravagant, Your Friendship Intimate. So it's sort of like, okay, here you are, here I am, and yet here's the love that you have for me. And then that segued into Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we were talking more about God's faithfulness and who He is. There's attributes and characteristics that we were saying that He doesn't change. He's got that love. He's God. Then we went to The Stand, one of my personal favorites. In The Stand, it's all about my response to God. All right, so here's God, here's me, here's all these other aspects of Your love for me. And now then, I have the choice here. What can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, O God, completely to You? You know, and it's like we're taking a walk, and we're walking with the Lord, and we're saying things to the Lord, and it's sort of like if you're reading a book and you read a chapter, but then if you completely forget what was in that chapter and you read the next chapter, it's sort of like, what are they doing over here? You know, and then you forget that one because you're reading the next chapter. You know, now it's not quite that dependent on each other, and maybe I can get better at what I do, but it's still a link, it's a flow, and it's a walk that we're talking to the Lord. And again, it's not a random deal. There is a theme. And so my desire is that you guys would be able to see what we've done. Now, if I were to say, okay, we did this morning Better is One Day. Then we did Came to My Rescue, and then we did I Will Trust You. Did you pick up a theme on that at all? And again, they're great songs, and they are a standalone kind of a deal. But Better is One Day, in the bridge, it says, my heart and flesh cry out for You, the living God. Your spirit's water for my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I'll draw near to You. All right, and then from there we went into falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek Your face. Lord, all I am is Yours. So it's this, it's like Better is One Day in Your House. Lord, all I am is Yours. I so need You. I called, You answered. And You came and You rescued me. And I want to be where You are. I want to be in Your courts. Then we went to I Will Trust You. In my weakness would you come. Help me stand up. Help me run. Where am I going to run? To the shadow of your wings and the comfort that that brings. And I'll wait. This is of the top 100 things that I do well, this is not one. And I will wait and be still, and I'll know that you are God. And then I'll love you and adore you. I'll trust you, God. I'll sing in times of trouble, if I can remember, and I will trust you, God. And so that kind of brings us to where we are here. So there's a theme, right? There's a theme, there's a flow. Now we're going to do some more singing, all right? Because I can, and nobody tells me that I can't. And so as we're doing this, all right, I've given you an idea. Now I have a method to my madness. And so try, as we go through this next part, try to go, okay, well, what are we saying? And we're saying to the Lord. Now, the trick here is to pay attention to what the lyrics are saying, what we're saying to God, but not really that we're having a test that you're so thinking about the lyrics that you're not thinking about who you're saying them to. All right? So there's a balance between the two. Does that make sense?
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature,
walk. Isn't it fun? So where did you pick up? Where were we going? Where did y'all see in the midst of that? I don't think there's a right answer unless I just cut you off. Go, no, where did we go there? Big part of creation. I love this state. You know, it's sort of like, yeah. Anything else? Cool. That's kind of a neat thing to say to the Lord, isn't it? I am so dependent on you. Anybody else? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, you're there. Okay, so we have theme. We have a flow. We have a walk that we take with our God. If that's the first thing, the second thing, stance, posture. What did I say at the very beginning? We have theme and we have posture. The stance. In the book of Isaiah, do you remember when Isaiah came before God? Do you remember his response when he was there? He goes, "Oh, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." We are broken people. Sin has just done that to us. We were born into it. It's one of those kind of deals that we are just broken. And here, during this time together, we're standing before a perfect, holy God. And I think, really and truly, our response should be, "Oh, wow." You know, like, ugh. It should be Isaiah's response at the same time. But now, here there's a parenthetical pause here. We've been taught what salvation is, right? God loves man, sins Christ died, now you decide. And we've been there, and we see, you know, what the Holy Spirit does with all the stuff in the process of us being saved. So now, with all that we've been taught, and that's like weeks and weeks of learning that you guys have already done, but here we are, we're saved. We can approach the throne room of God with confidence because of what Christ has already done for us, and we have put our trust into that. Now, have y'all, I say it over and over again. Do you remember me telling you the word picture of in Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers? Aragorn comes in and he's going into the throne room of Théoden, the king of Rohan, and he puts his hands on these monster doors and he just pushes them both open and he comes in. That's the picture that I keep seeing that we can do with our God, is that we can push it open. If you could use your holy imaginations to see those doors swinging open and going in and just being with God. And if I were to ask you to close your eyes and just kind of imagine those things, well, I have no idea what your throne room of God would look like, or I have a great imagination what mine looks like, but just to see God. And then if you look in Revelations to kind of supplement what that is, you've got angels circling around the throne just forever singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to God." And then you've got all the elders, and you've got all the angels, and then you get to all of us that are going to be together singing in some amazing harmonies with us. And so this is kind of a cool place. But as we come in and as we stand before God, what this is not is a place to come in and go, "Well, I'm going to kind of pull one over on your eyes. I'm not really this person." When you come before an omniscient God, doesn't really fly. This is a place where you come in complete honesty, in utter integrity. It's simple, it's basic. Bottom line, it's real. In a couple of Mondays ago in a Bible study, we were studying about when the gal was in the Pharisee's house. There was going to be a dinner for Jesus that the Pharisee put on. And Jesus comes in, and this gal sees Christ, sees Jesus, and she starts to weep. And she lets her tears wet Jesus' feet, and then she dries off his feet with her hair. And then she's got this jar, this alabaster jar full of this perfume that is amazing. I think when you look at it, she doesn't say anything. At least it's not recorded that she says anything. It's just, she's just being real with who God is. I think when we come before God, there's a song that talks, you know, am I going to talk? Am I going to not be able to talk? Am I going to stand? Am I going to kneel? Am I going to fall down? Will I be able to do anything at all? You know, I can only imagine what this would be like. This is kind of where we are. In the last book of the Chronicles of Narnia, it's called the Last Battle, when they get to Aslan's place, when we get to heaven, if you will, the invitation is to come farther up and farther in, because I think there's never an end to getting to know what's there, but it's always a choice. You can stay at the threshold of the door, and it's cool. You can see it all. Well, you can see a bunch, and there's a lot that comes with that. But the invitation is to come farther up and farther in. And we can spend an eternity with our God to know who is He and what is our relationship like. In seminary, there was a big deal about learning about Jesus. We could know about Jesus, but then there's a disparity between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. We can learn about God, but we don't know God. And that's kind of where we are in that decision of we can stay here or we can run headlong to know, you know, the beauty of what's going on in the midst of this. And here's the thing. If we come into the throne room and we're looking God square in the face, there will be different things. But if we're saying these things to Him, wouldn't you think that He would want to say something back to us? And I think that's where, you know, we have a theme that we bring, and we're taking a walk with the Lord, and we're saying these things to the Lord. But in the midst of that, you know, what is our posture? And what I want for us on a Sunday morning is to have the freedom in here to stay seated. Because if that's where the honesty and where the reality of what I'm saying to the Lord, if that's where it is, then by all means, stay seated. If you feel like in the midst of this, oh, I got to stand up. You know, I looked over a while ago, and thank you, Evelina, yes, I do thank you for that. Thank you for having the freedom that when everybody else is sitting, that you feel the freedom. But at the same time, if everybody is up and you're like, Lord, I want to spend time with you, sit down and kind of pull it in the midst of that while we're continuing to do worship. My friend, I have a friend, Mr. Cheryl. He says he has some of his best conversations ever with the Lord in the midst of worship. And it's just that kind of give and take. Now, if you hear something completely anti-biblical or whatever, is that the Lord's voice? No. We know, and the beauty of you guys is that we have studied the Bible for years and years and years. We know the names of God and what they mean. We know the attributes of God. We watch God as He interacts with mankind throughout history to see who He is. We know, but we can take that into worship. Leon said to me once, it's really good to take that worship prepares people's hearts to hear the Word. And cool, if that does that, that's great. I would want to turn that around. It's really cool that we know the Word so well so that when we come into worship, we know our God. And there's aspects of, from what we know of Him, how can this experience happen? So that is my heart for what we do here, is that when we get up to lead worship for you guys, it would be a walk with the Lord. Whether we stand in the garden alone, you know, and you know, while the dew's still on the roses or the things that are going on. We're going to sing two more songs. And the first one is, It Is Well With My Soul. And again, the reality of who we are, what this song is saying to our God, that with the circumstances that are going on, I know You. It is well with my soul. And the second song is, Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a little bit of saying, soul, body, you, hey, bless the Lord, you know, and see what's going on. And again, I've told you before, the last line in Bless the Lord, O my soul, the last line in each one of the verses is the kicker for me each time. And so as we do that with integrity, as we sing what we sing, if you need to kneel before the Lord and declare, you know, this is what's going on, if you need to stand, if you need to sit, if we're doing songs, if you need to dance before the throne, again, freedom to go where you want to go.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious bond. My sin not in part, but the whole. His nail to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound.
Father, I just thank you for this morning. Father, for being able to see the opportunity to see you. Father, may we all experience your love. Father, may we all experience your correction. Father, may we experience you. You're such a great God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the destiny that you have placed in us, that you've thought about this for eternity. What a great thing, Lord. Thank you. Pray these things in your Son's name.